The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
We made it. Later this week, major American team sports finally returns. Baseball is back. Fantasy Baseball Today, the best fantasy baseball podcast on the internet, is the place to be in advance of Gerrit Cole and the Yankees facing off against the World Series champs, Washington Nationals. That'll be Thursday night. So be sure to subscribe and tune in. Scott White, Chris Towers, Adam Azer, and Frank Stampfl are getting you ready for the 60-game sprint, as well as everything you need to know with your Week 1 Fantasy Baseball matchups. You can find Fantasy Baseball Today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to enjoy your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Monday, July 20th, 2020. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and today was a significant day in the sport because Filip Petrusev, projected first-team All-American, the reigning West Coast Conference Player of the Year, announced he's going to play professional basketball in Serbia rather than for Gonzaga next season. It's a blow to the Zags, I think, but not one I think they can't overcome. Evidence being that I decided, after thinking about it for maybe 11 or 12 minutes, I decided to keep Gonzaga number one in the CBS Sports Top 25 and one. That's version 20.0, if you're keeping track. I know our buddy Sam Vecenie agrees with what I did. I saw his tweet, but we never let him talk on this podcast. So let me ask you, Norlander, am I crazy or brilliant or something in between for keeping the Zags number one in the top 25 and one, even after the loss of Filip Petrusev?
Yeah, maybe we'll let Sam get a word in here before the podcast is over. You're neither crazy nor brilliant. I do disagree with you. I think I'd bump them a little bit for, as a reminder with viewers, with listeners. Viewers eventually coming later this year on the podcast, but listeners, GP's got Gonzaga 1, Baylor 2, Villanova 3, Virginia 4, Iowa 5. This is a fascinating decision in that Petrusev, a player of his caliber, an almost certain preseason All-American had he returned, a player of that caliber leaving a team slotted to be first or second in the country, depending on your viewpoint, like that kind of player leaving a team, GP, 9 out of 10 times, if not more frequently than that, you're bumping a team down. You didn't in this case. I think I would, just because I just want to see the other pieces, if and when we can get to a season, how they fill in. Now, Petrusev, you know, he wasn't some absolute do-it-all kind of player. But I think I might slot the Zags second or third, maybe fourth. If I didn't really, you know, totally sort it out there. But we
Who would
do
you have number one right now?
I think I like Villanova the most, even without Sadiq Bey. I think I like Villanova more than any other team, because Sadiq Bey is the only guy of any kind of consequence that Nova loses for next season. So I would go Nova 1. If you told me, and I think Baylor expects Maceo Teague and Jared Butler to return, I think I'd go Baylor 2 and then Gonzaga 3. I think that's what I would do now. Now, if you told me Petrusev was there, I actually think he's good enough. I might have still had Nova 1, but he was definitely good enough to have Gonzaga number 2 at the very worst.
Yeah, I consider dropping them. Like, this isn't one of those where I'm going to continue to have Gonzaga number one, and I think you're crazy if you don't. Like, I understand. I guess what it came down to me was, because you're exactly right. Normally, team projected to be number one in the country loses its best player, particularly this late in the process. You go, okay, well, they dropped. Now let's figure out how far. But when I started looking at it, I was like, okay, who do I like better, Gonzaga's current roster, even without Petrusev, or Baylor? And I think I like Gonzaga's better than Baylor, although I'm a massive Baylor fan. I understand the argument for Villanova. Like, it's easy. They Big East champs. They only lose one player. They've got an incredible track record of consistent winning. Do you realize if Villanova wins the NCAA tournament in 2021, provided we have one, which, by the way, is a very realistic thing. Not that we will have one. I do think that'll happen. But realistic thing that Villanova could win it.
Right.
In the preseason top five with everybody. There'll be three titles for Jay Wright in five NCAA tournaments. Six years, five tournaments. Like, nobody has – first off, only six people have ever won at least three titles. Nobody's ever won three in a six-year span other than John Wooden. And, like, Jay Wright's got a realistic chance to do that. So I understand – people arguing for Villanova. Like, if you got Villanova ranked number one, that's sensible. You might end up looking real smart come late March, early April. But I honestly think Gonzaga is going to be great, win another 30 games for the fifth consecutive year, even without Philip Petrushev. And that says more about what I think of Gonzaga's incoming players, what Gonzaga returns, Mark Few's program, than it says about anything else. I don't see a scenario where Gonzaga's not great.
Okay, so the one thing I wanted to talk about on the podcast was what you kind of alluded to there. I want to merge a couple of talking points here. Mark Few's program and what he has here, and then did you see what Petrushev's agent told Jonathan Givony of Draft Express? Did you see that quote that popped up? It didn't get a lot of run, but I wonder if you came across it.
I did not.
Okay, I'm going to read this right here.
As you know, we talked off the air. Yeah. I've had workers working at my house all day. Yeah. Then I went straight to rail. I've been juggling a lot of things. I read everything Jonathan then publishes. I haven't seen that yet.
All right, he just sent out a tweet. Here's what the tweet says, the quote from the agent. It says, as the agent of Philip Petrushev, I can say that it is his ultimate goal is to be drafted and play in the NBA. It was a tough decision, but at the end he understood that in the last 6 years – Mega, the organization in his home country of Serbia.
That's a little too close to something else.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I hear you. Has had 10 players drafted compared with Gonzaga's five, as well as twice as many players participating in all-star games. This is in the last 6 years. It means that Mega's path to the NBA looks more realistic, especially for big guys like Nikola Jokic, Ivica Zubac, Goga Batazzi, and it was a key moment for leaving the school and going pro! Exclamation point. Couple of things here. One, that's a shot at Gonzaga and Mark Few's program that isn't really totally warranted, because as we talk about what Gonzaga should be, how we project it to be for next season, and kind of keeping this program kind of almost universally a top five team, I think, throughout college basketball media. The one thing that you can say about Gonzaga and its program and Mark Few is that the bigs almost always live up to the hype. And I mean, I remember when Shemek Karnowski got to campus and there was a whole bunch of hype for this, you know, humongous human being that Gonzaga had been recruiting successfully and kind of knew about before anyone else. And while he had injuries that kind of set him back, he was an absolute beast while he was there. And he's not the only one. I mean, Killian Tilly was hyped. And I would say, again, if not for injury, he lived up to it there. Brandon Clark is a transfer. Absolutely matched, if not exceeded, a considerable amount of hype when he was there. And even Zach Norvell, who was fairly highly recruited, wasn't like seen as this absolute one-and-done kind of talent. He became that kind of player immediately. And even Domas Sabonis, I mean, bloodlines within the NBA and his dad being one of the best pro players really globally in that sense ever, I think Sabonis lived up to it too as well. So I don't think the shot there was entirely warranted. And frankly, you know, Petrushev was a really, really good college player, and I don't fault him for making this kind of decision, GP. But intel that I've received, I mean, his dad kind of was running a lot of this, not convinced that it wasn't more his dad's decision than it is. Now, he has to take full responsibility. I get that. But my impression was that his father, you know, he was living with his father in Spokane, in or near campus all the way until June. He only got to go back home to Serbia in the past 3.5 weeks. So there's a little bit of the politicking there. He's trying to chase some money. He doesn't know, uncertainty with coronavirus and this COVID situation, which is totally understandable. But Petrushev is not, I can't see how he's going to be drafted. I mean, he definitely has major concerns. This is what I got kind of from scouts in the past couple of months, like ball screen defense, extremely bad. Rim protection could certainly improve. And then he was trying to prove that he was going to be able to step out and shoot more and wanted to be that kind of role in the offense if he was going to stay, and that wasn't going to happen. So it's an interesting decision. It took the staff – oh, one more thing, by the way, I was told by a source. It took the staff by surprise. Like, he wasn't on campus. Gonzaga started some workouts on campus Monday, which is when the first day the NCAA was allowing all of that. And all the players are there except Petrushev. But so they thought maybe it was going to go this way, but they didn't know for sure. And then the staff found out the way you and I found out through a Eurohoops.net Twitter feed relaying a report from overseas in a separate language that said, oh, by the way, he has signed a contract. He's going to play overseas. So not the cleanest exit, if you will, there. So a little bit of a mess there overall. But, yeah, there was, I think, a little more drama behind this whole thing, GP, than we expected, considering when you looked at his role last year. I mean, this is, again, a very high-profile player who's not going to be a preseason All-American anymore.
Yeah, it seems like the quote from the agent is not only unnecessary but misguided. Like, okay, you can point out that in the past 6 years, Gonzaga's had, what did he say, five players drafted?
Yeah, five compared to Mega Bimax's 10 in the past 6 years, yes.
Okay, well, they draw the line right in front of Kelly Olynyk, who was a lottery pick in 2013. Robert Sacre was the year before that. Austin Day was, you know, back in 2009, Adam Morrison, top five pick. Right. Here's what I would ask you, and I ask this from a sincere place. Okay, Gonzaga's had five players drafted in the past 6 years. Okay, how many players look like draftable NBA prospects the day they enrolled at Gonzaga? The number's less than five.
It's definitely less than five. I mean, and just as a quick example, like Rui Hachimura and what he became when he was at Gonzaga versus when he got there, unquestionably, even Zach Collins as well. Like, Zach Collins is the kind of turnaround story that you might see like at a surprise at like a power conference school or a blue blood or top 15 type. No, he became a factor the final 6 weeks of that season when Gonzaga lost to Carolina in the title game. And then he became a lottery pick. If you really look at that, GP, Gonzaga's had, I'm riffing off the top of my head, but I want to say in the past decade, Gonzaga's had six, maybe seven guys go in the top, I think it's six, go in the top 20. So yeah, it was just, it seemed like the agent was trying to justify the decision and then unnecessarily, it didn't track for me.
That's exactly right. Sometimes in life, people decide they want to do something, then you try to rationalize it. And I'm not saying that Philip is making a mistake. I'm just saying that whether he's, ends up in the NBA or not, got nothing to do with whether he's at Gonzaga or not. You know, like the idea that he needed to do this to give himself a better chance to get into the NBA, I don't buy that for a second.
I completely agree with you. And now by him leaving, just to kind of circle back to what you were saying, you know, I've been in on Drew Timme since I saw him play in Vegas. I did a story on him because at one point, Drew Timme was this highly recruited, five-star level kind of player who – GP, no exaggeration, the July heading into a senior year, he had like 30 to 35 schools still interested in him because he was just not tipping his hand whatsoever. And while sometimes schools and coaches can see through that BS, that just wasn't the case with Timme. And eventually he goes and plays with Gonzaga and he had a nice little freshman year. He should be stepping up and having, we did a piece last Friday on our best picks for breakout players. Do go and check that out. I won't spoil too much. But after the fact, I thought, you know, if I could have picked someone else, I might've picked Timme. If I knew what I know now, Timme would have been my pick. This is an automatic. I mean, he was like a nine. Petrushev was like a 17-8 or 17-9 guy last season. Timme, I think, will have better numbers than that next season. So that's why Gonzaga's got a chance. And then also, in keeping in line what we mentioned with how they've been able to produce bigs reliably, not just him. I don't know how to pronounce this first man's, this young man's first name, but Umar Ballo.
That's right.
Okay.
I looked it up before we started.
Umar Ballo. He is getting, I mean, he's got redshirt freshman, originally from Mali. Rave reviews to the point where like he might be the kind of guy who's the first off the bench. Let's just go hypothetical here, but like first off the bench in November, and then we look up by the end of January, and he has also inserted himself inside that starting lineup right alongside Timme. So I would not be surprised at all if Gonzaga wound up eventually living up to your preseason prophecy, if you will, GP, because again, like it is proving to be among the three or four greatest, you know, kind of right there with like Carolina, historically speaking, under Roy, reliable big men landing spots along the lines of Kentucky is Gonzaga. So I think the Petrušev departure means something, but just look at the past 20 years under Few. I'm not going to doubt them and say that this is no longer a team that can make a Final Four. It absolutely still can. And I'm interested to see if those pieces, those guys can step in and produce immediately after Petrušev's left.
One last thing on Gonzaga draft picks. You can draw it the line at 6 years and say they've only had five players drafted in the past 6 years. Fine. How about we draw it at 3 years? The last 3 years, they have had three top 25 picks. Zach Collins, pick 10th. Rui Hachimura, pick 9th. Brandon Clark, pick 21st. But if you did that draft over tonight, he'd also go in the top 10. I mean, I'm not going to try to exaggerate it. They haven't had three top 10 picks, but you know what I'm saying. They've had two top 10 picks and a guy who would be picked in the top 10 if you redid it in the past 3 years. So again, Gonzaga is consistently taking players that aren't projected as first round picks and making them first round picks. In some cases, way more quickly than anybody could have anticipated. Nobody in the NBA was talking about Brandon Clark in October of 2018.
Right.
And then he, you know, becomes the 21st pick, and now he's a rotation player, important piece on a playoff team with the Grizzlies. Like, he and John Morant are, you know, along with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow, the future of that franchise. But Brandon Clark is very much a part of it. So again, the shot about lack of draft picks, I find that misguided. As for this particular team, obviously Corey Kispert still has to withdraw from the NBA draft. Joe Ayayi needs to withdraw from the NBA draft. Not needs to. I'm not telling anybody what they need to do. But like, for Gonzaga to be preseason number one,
must happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it would. That probably needs to happen. They got to get both those guys back. If they get both those guys back, they're returning two double-digit scores, again, from a 31-2 team. They'll have four players who averaged at least 14 minutes per game last season on that 31-2 team. The top 15 recruiting class features Jalen Suggs and two other top 100 players, Suggs being a five-star guard. And then you mentioned Umar Ballo, who is a top 80 guy from the class of 2019, redshirted last season. Timmy is the guy who, you're exactly right, if we were asked that same question we answered last Friday right now, breakout player in the 2020-21 season, I would go with Timmy. He could easily go from off the bench guy who played 20 minutes to West Coast Conference Player of the Year. Like, that won't surprise me. And it's why people, like, both these things can be true. Petrušev was going to be a preseason first team All-American. Like, we had him second team All-American last season.
Yeah.
He and Luka Garza were the only first or second team guys we had who were set to come back to school as of yesterday. Now Garza is the only one. So Petrušev would have been a first-team All-American. He would have been awesome. But, like, everybody I talk to thinks that Timmy has a chance to be just as awesome. Like, he had 17 in the last game of the season, last season, which was that win in the WCC tournament over St. Mary's. And so I guess I'd bottom line it this way. I remember heading into last season, when I talked to people connected to the Gonzaga program, they were really skeptical of what that team was going to look like. It was all, a lot of it was new. And they were like, you know, we'll see. But like, I had them preseason top 10, and when I talked to Mark Few last summer, he was like, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, like, you know, this, we lost a lot. When I talk to people connected to the Gonzaga program right now, even after Petrušev left, I don't hear any skepticism.
I know.
Like, they really do think they're going to be really good again. And I think that's interesting. Again, heading into last season, the people connected to the program I speak with were skeptical, and that team went 31-2. And there is no skepticism among that coaching staff right now. They think they're going
to
be good.
My last thoughts on this. I expect Corey Kispert and Joel Ayayi to both return. My understanding is that the reason why those decisions haven't been made yet is they want to extend it further because they can, and make sure this isn't going to happen, but just make sure they don't get to, you know, the day before the deadline to discover that the chances of a college basketball season are completely out the window. I think it's just COVID related. That's basically why they haven't made the decisions yet. I think Ayayi almost definitely, Kispert, I think as well, Kispert, I think, is going to earn an NBA paycheck one day. It's just a matter of what he wants to do and all of that that's going to come with it. And then Drew Timmy, I mean, I remember when he committed, I said it then, and we will talk about him plenty. I said, by the time Drew Timmy is a junior at Gonzaga, if he makes it that long, he will be a top 10 player in college basketball. I do believe that'll be the case. He's going to be a sophomore next season. He'll be really, really good. And then if he indeed stays one more season, if he stays for that junior season, he will have a very good chance. He's got better hands. He's got better awareness. And I think on the whole, just a little bit more well-rounded of a teammate than Petrushev. And I know Gonzaga fans that are listening to this are not surprised or shocked by this, but they're very eager to see him. Among many other really good pieces there, see how Jalen Suggs fits in as well. So Gonzaga still plenty well suited, which is not, again, it's, we're talking about Gonzaga with all this. This is really a comment and commentary on the program. When we talk about a player of the amount of importance that Petrushev was leaving the program and the team not falling off, you kind of took away the names and said, okay, who are we talking about? Almost exclusively, like, okay, well, this only really applies to Kentucky and Duke on an annual or almost annual basis, and now it applies to Gonzaga in this particular year.
Timmy, to get some specific averages last season, 9.8 points, 5.4 rebounds in 20.5 minutes per game. You bump that up to 30 minutes per game at the same rate. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's averaging what, 15 and 8?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all league stuff. That's
easily.
Maybe player of the year stuff.
Yeah.
Gonzaga's still going to be good. I'd feel more confident that they're the favorite to win the 2021 tournament if Petrushev was a part of it, but I think they can win it without Petrushev being a part of it. That speaks to the talent within the program. And, you know, the level at which that program has been operating consistently for a long, long time now. Let's move on. Baylor got a commitment from another class of 2021 standout on Monday. We're going to get into that next. But first, check this out.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Baylor got a commitment from another class of 2021 standout on Monday. His name's Kendall Brown, 6'8 wing at Sunrise Christian in Wichita. He committed to the Bears, five-star prospect. He's number 14 in the class of 2021, according to 24/7 Sports. He's the first five-star recruit to commit to Baylor since trivia time.
Isaiah Austin.
In 2012, you're exactly right.
I knew it in particular because when I went down to, and this does, GP, this feels like 2 years ago. I'm not even saying it for hyperbole. When I went to cover that Kansas-Baylor game, which was in February, blows my mind, got to talking to Scott Drew, and I had asked him that very thing. Like, you know, you're doing this. When was the last time you had a five-star? He's like, it was when we got Isaiah Austin. So it's kind of been in my mind ever since. But, yeah, it's been – so we're looking at – you said he was 2012, so 8 years. Nine years, actually. If he's – this is going to be class of 21 kid. It's been 9 years.
Nine recruiting classes, and this is the first five-star since Isaiah Austin in 2012. Baylor got two commitments last week from four-star prospects, more notably Langston Love. So right now, if you go to 24/7 Sports, Baylor – Scott Drew's Bears have the number one recruiting class in the country in 2021, Norlander. Mm. How much do you think Terry Teagle, the legend, is smiling right now?
I put it – listen, Scott Drew and his staff have done a great job, okay? Jerome Tang, Alvin Brooks, great, great assistant coaches there, deserving of their own head jobs in the near future. But at least 16.34% of this has got to be on Terry Teagle's shoulders, okay? Decades in the making there. Baylor number
– kids grow up saying, I want to be the next Terry Teagle. And when you say, okay, what's the best path to do that? Go to Baylor where Terry Teagle starred.
That's right. You know, they don't have nearly enough Terry Teagle signage in the facility. We should We should group text and harass Scott Drew about that. Get that done. All right, so they're number one right now, which is a great achievement. It's unlikely to finish that way.
Right, because Duke and Kentucky sweep in at the end.
And then Michigan State's obviously on the come there as well. But Baylor's almost certainly going to be top 10 and really does still have a chance at top 5 status here. And I will have a piece later for the listeners. I'll have a piece later in the week. I believe it's going to go up Wednesday on Baylor, but also the Big 12 in general and how it's, after a slight step back a season ago, it's set up to be good this upcoming season. And then again, when you look at this class with Baylor and others that are forming the Big 12, even the year after that. But mighty impressive for Scott Drew to be able to do this. I mean, if you're a Baylor fan or if you're a fan of any team in the Big 12 and you've kind of realized this or it's been kind of on your periphery, I'll try and crystallize it just a little bit for you. Here's where you're at, okay, with Baylor. Coming off arguably the best season in program history, and there's a lot of accomplishments, facts to back that up even without a postseason go of it in the league or in the NCAA tournament for Baylor. Just look at what the regular season did. Like, really could make the case last season was the best in the history of the program. You were set up to be, I think, universally recognized as a top three or four team heading into next season, particularly if Jared Butler and Macy Oteague return. I expect both will. So you got that. And then Scott Drew lands what could be his best overall class ever and sets up Baylor yet again to be number one, number two in the Big 12 the season after that. And not just that, GP, but we don't know timelines and all this stuff. One other thought came to my mind with this. Can you guess what other thought came to my mind when this news broke today? What other thing related to all this and how it might help Baylor?
The only thing that pops into my mind ever is Terry Teagle.
Okay. Well, that's not true. That's not true as it pertains to my thoughts. My other thought is Kansas is going to get hit eventually.
Yeah.
So it could be a situation with where for not just next season, but potentially the season after that, depending on if and how long a suspension is doled out to Bill Self, a postseason ban, and how long that could be doled out to Kansas. Potentially, okay, Baylor could be in position here to be atop the league for one or two years, maybe even longer. And that just has not been the case, period, for a multi-year existence since Bill Self came into the league. And really, if you go back to when Roy Williams was there, the idea of a non-Kansas school holding the throne atop Big 12 Mountain for two straight years, maybe even three straight years. I mean, that's something that hasn't happened literally for more than two, three decades there. And Baylor is now positioned itself to potentially allow for that. Kansas fans, don't freak out. Okay, this is what it is, and we'll wait and see if Kansas actually can be dethroned with all that stuff. It is by far the strongest and best conference in that program in that conference. But Baylor and Scott Drew have really pulled off something pretty amazing here and have done so without even the benefit of a boost, GP, with the 2020 NCAA tournament appearance.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. Like, Kansas is going to go through it eventually, I think. Now, obviously, Kansas is going to fight this. I mean, they are fighting it. You know, I know Bill Self is ready to go down swinging if he's going to go down. Like, they're not going to sit and take this. So it is possible that they beat it. We should never rule that out. It is more likely that they don't, and that they face penalties, an NCAA tournament ban, a coach suspension, and it really does open the door for somebody else to move to the top of the Big 12 for more than just a random fluky year. And obviously Baylor is one of those teams. I think Texas Tech with Chris Beard is another team that could do it. And Shaka Smart's got a team heading into next season that's got a chance to do it as well. So, you know, as you know, the Big 12 has consistently been one of the top two leagues in the country forever. More often than not, I think, number one at KenPom. But you know, it stays strong now because Texas Tech's operating at a high level. You know, Shaka's got Texas in a good place right now. And Baylor, you know, to just run through it, made five of the past six NCAA tournaments, ranked number one in last season, set a record for consecutive wins by a Big 12 team, finished number three at KenPom. I've got them number two in the top 25 and one, and they've got the number one class in 2021. That is a pretty impressive run for Scott Drew.
One question for you before we get – actually, I got a fun thing after this, but one more question on this. I have an on-the-record reply from Scott Drew from earlier this year when I went to that trip about this, but before I give it, I want to ask you – what your guess is here. Does Scott Drew finish his head coaching career as the coach of Baylor?
Yes. And I didn't think he would maybe, I don't know. There was a time where I thought he might not. You know, he was a candidate for the Memphis job when Josh Pastner got it.
That's right.
He ultimately, you know, didn't want it, but like, I know he thought about it and ultimately decided, like, you know, don't run away from a good thing. Like, they should build a statue of Scott Drew at Baylor. He has been amazing. And I'm just, I don't know that he'll be, I don't know that he would get, he'll be offered the type of job that actually makes you want to leave what seems like just the perfect place for him.
Right. Butler's his alma mater. And I don't think it's inconceivable that, you know, 5, 7, 10 years from now, if things align a certain way, that he wouldn't leave. What Drew told me earlier this year was he did not say yes for sure. He definitely said, you know, I'll never say that I'll be here forever because I don't know what the future is going to hold there. It was honest and diplomatic at the same time. But I do side with you. And I don't know. It just – he has built something there that is special, and it's not it's obviously not inconceivable or unthinkable that he would ever leave, but I don't think that will be the case. I think that he's got another good 15 years in him as a head coach, and I think that he is going to build out something there at Baylor and finish. And if he's able to keep this going, like barring supreme success to the point where literally one of like the 8 to 10 best jobs in the country come calling for you, I'm not convinced that he would leave it because he's been able to do this even overcoming what I believe is either the 9th or 10th lowest men's basketball operating budget in the Big 12. Okay, I got something for you. What did we talk about in the last podcast? You don't remember. You got no idea.
Musa Cisse?
Well, yeah, but that wasn't it. Remember, Coach Cal coaching at Cal, remember?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I got some names for you.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know if you looked this up. I'd never thought about it again after I said it.
I know. Well, you know what? I had some time. What do you want from me? Konzo Martin at Tennessee Martin.
That would be good.
Will Brown at Brown. Albany coach Will Brown. Jawan Howard at Howard. How did we not know that in the moment? His assistant, I got a couple assistants on here. Assistant Saadi Washington, if you know, at Washington.
Coach the Huskies.
I'm not trying to push Hop out, but I'm just saying Saadi Washington,
It was a rough season last season.
Norm Roberts, Oral Roberts. not even that far away, by the way. Norm Roberts works for Bill Self. Bill Self previously worked at Oral Roberts. Now, the spelling is the same. The pronunciation, the phonetics are not. Bruce Weber at Weber State. King Rice at Rice.
At Rice.
And then another one, Greg Marshall at Marshall. Yes. Greg Marshall at Marshall. That actually, let's say, like, he's way too successful to ever get that job again or to take a job like that again. But that actually see him thriving. And then last one, Jay Wright, Wright State.
I love them all, and I appreciate the effort. Like, you put real –
That's not real effort. I scanned through KenPom, and I was like, all right, which of these coaches have last names that match up with the schools?
I still think the best one's Coach Cal at Cal because it'd be like – excuse me. So what's your name? Coach Cal. What do you do?
Coach Cal.
That's good, right? What do you do? Coach Cal. So what's your name? Coach Cal. It's a little bit like who's on first.
I know. Most realistic of the ones I gave. Konzo Martin, Tennessee Martin. No. Will Brown at Brown. Conceivable. Jawan Howard at Howard. No. Saadi Washington to Washington. Conceivable.
Maybe one day.
Norm Roberts at Oral Roberts.
I can see that.
Maybe. Bruce Weber at Weber State, not going to happen. King Rice at Rice, I don't think so. Greg Marshall, no. Or Jay Wright, Rice State, no. It might be Saadi Washington at Washington.
What if Jay Wright did end up at Wright State? He wins his third national title in a six-year span, and then he's like, you know what? It's been a good run, but I'd like to coach at a place named after me.
Yeah, Scott Nagy, you got to get out of there. Get out of here. Jay Wright coaching at Wright State. It'd be humble and egotistical all at once. I'd love it. So, anyway, give the shouts. We can get out of here.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M. Fatigue, legend, number one class of 2021. Shouts to Larnell. And please go subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. You can do it wherever you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Can't thank you enough for listening. In the off season, in the middle of a pandemic. We don't take that for granted. So thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you again real, real soon. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.